Welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your ed tech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host, Josh, and see what today's episode is all about.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Flush. Listen, I'm excited you're back. I hope you've enjoyed this new way the show's coming out, just short, quick hits, and really having one idea and something that you can use for tomorrow. So let's get diving in. So remember, as teachers, we don't necessarily need more ideas. We need things that actually work in our classroom. And so for the Tech Flush, the next 15, 20-ish minutes, we're going to build something special that hopefully you can use tomorrow, today, depending on when you're listening to it. So let's get diving in. So we've got Michael Wesley back in the house. I'm excited to have you, Michael. Thanks for saying yes and being on the show. I've loved our connection. I think that's one part about being in this role is just making those connections with people. It's just been a lot of fun to do that. And so just to remind people, Michael is from Virginia Beach, a classroom teacher. I've turned instructional tech specialist now. You're just really passionate about designing learning experiences for students and actually want to be a part of it. And I know every time you've come back on, each little episode we've done, you bring something that changes not just how students are doing an activity or a task or learning content, but really you're changing what they're doing with that learning. And so based off of that, you said something earlier in a conversation that really kind of struck me. And I've really, honestly, I knew it, but I've just never really thought about it with kids and building content or building an activity and going through that. But you said nobody spends 45 seconds making a 45-second video. And that one line has just really stuck with me when it comes when students want to create something that's real. So let's start there, Michael. What did you really mean by that? What does that mean why does that matter for teachers?
Well, first off, it's the truth. It doesn't take 40. I mean, if you're really, really good at, and you're just doing a one cut thing, but when it comes to telling stories with video, it generally takes an hour for every minute of video you generate. So with that said, it takes a lot of time to do video projects with kids especially, and you have to really place how you're going to put that into your classroom. And I like to create an environment where kids love it so much that they want to go home and do it, because anytime they are so motivated to do a project like that, they'll end up doing it at their house even. So I'm okay with that if they want to create something to tell their story at their house. But it does take a lot of time because you're going to think of all the things that you have to do. You have your planning, you have your script, you have what assets you're going to need to put into the video. Is it a video that you're telling a story with without words even? And then how are you going to convey that? So there's so much involved in putting a video together for good storytelling that it can really flip the kids' mind and blow their minds as far as what they could do with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you talk about the time that goes into it, especially like our conversations for the show, how it's gone from just a conversation to me building new graphics, which is always fun to do that, but really the writing part for me and more of maybe a looser script and really the idea and being more purposeful in what we're doing. So then like, as we come from students, you know, we've talked about We Will Write. We've talked about the feedback that they get and making that more purposeful. But how does something like WeVideo, or is there another tool or something that students can use that really brings that writing out with them to make it more fun and more engaging to where they're having that fun, but they're really working on the content. They're really working on the writing process. They're working on the standards that we need them to do so that they continue to grow as students.
Well, it's always the illusion of choice, kind of like the Matrix movies. You know, you give the kids choices. And if you were going to, let's say, just focus on video, you can give them a choice of where they could do their video. Some may want to do it in Adobe Express. Some may want to do it in WeVideo. Some may have another platform that they have that's available at their schools. Whatever platform it is, you could give them the choice of the platform, or you can give them a choice within the platform. Like you can make a info graphic, but then you explain your infographic about the learning, or you can make a video sharing what you learned about the learning, and you could have a slide deck cast behind you. So using green screen, you're just like a little person on the screen and you could be recording that way. And then however you stack that and just creating those different ways that would include the interests of the kids that you have in your classroom at the time.
Yeah, I think that's key. You got to have your interest of the students at heart, and really, like, it's almost like an evolution, right? So we're working on the writing on paper. We're working using our pencil. We're using that, and now we can really build something.
And this was really continuing. Speaking of evolution, this was, for me personally, was an evolution, because this was the moment in my career. It was like 15, 16 years ago, and I'm in a fourth grade classroom, and I'm teaching them, they're going to be making a one take shot. And what they're doing is sharing their learning. And what they would do is they would slide in an element like that they had made like a little picture of. And as they're talking through their script, they would slide in an image of what they were talking about. And then that would slide out just by hand. And it was like, you know, the iPad was put on stacks of encyclopedias. And if you don't know what that is, look it up. But it was on stacks of encyclopedias with yardsticks across, holding the iPad up. And they were sliding it in as they were saying it. And they had to organize and orchestrate, like, who's going to slide what in first? Who's got this? Who's got that? So yeah. There's a lot of high-end, creativity is in the top of Bloom's taxonomy. It's right there at the top. So they're going to remember this experience and this learning. So going back to my evolution of this, it's like got to a point where it took a lot of time. This was one of the first projects that I did. I went big. I really did. So when they were doing it, it was taking time, and not all the groups were getting to those points where they needed to get to where their video was going to be finished and produced. You know, I figured, oh, it's a one take. They just have to do it over and over until they get that one take. This was not even getting no cuts in it at all. So they would record it again and again. And if they didn't finish the video, this is the evolution part, is I've learned that it didn't matter. I didn't have to have a final output for this project, because what was important to me as a teacher is that they learned it. So all those elements that they went into planning and then orchestrating of who does what and when, all of that was the learning. And it wasn't that they were learning the video, which they were at the same time, but the content that they were creating it with, they all knew. So at that moment, I realized I don't have to continue to make extra time for them in the day. I don't have to rob Peter to pay Paul. I don't have to not teach something and get behind in something else because I need to give them more video time. So I have this output. I could just give them a test or call them back and have them explain to me what their learning is to give them that assessment on how well they learned the information. So that was like the big aha, that I don't have to have a finished product. And once I did that, I could just give a timeline. They had that timeline. If they didn't meet that timeline, they didn't get that extension part, which was the video part. So everybody wants to make a video. But if they didn't get their project organized well enough to where they met timelines, then they would lose out on that. So that was very liberating, I remember, as a teacher, to come to that conclusion. I don't need them to finish the product. I don't have to prove it to anybody. They have to share it with me. And then I have the proof. If I give them a test, I can score the test on that information.
And then also, you know, continue to talk about the planning part, the collaboration and who's going to slide underneath the iPad and do all these. So we're just not working on content, but we're also working on those soft skills where they have to work in groups. And because that's what we do on a daily basis as educators or professionals in whatever job, you're just not working on your task, or you're working with other people. So it's just not a task for content, or not a content, but academics, the standards that they're learning. But now we're building in those other parts of that we help students learn on a daily basis. And yeah. So I think it's just a very...
them is joyful. It was joyful for me, because instead of barking and yelling at them, I was standing there next to them, like swimming in the pool, coaching them. And it's like, okay, well, here's a good way to do it. What, you know? And then it was like working in tandem with them. It was a really cool experience. You know, I had to put another hat on when somebody started crying because they weren't going to get their project finished. But it was okay, because there will be another project. So, yeah. And as anything with technology, once they have a little bit of time playing with it, and then the process is developed, and you have your scaffolds in place, and you know how you're going to monitor this, it makes it very quick to be a go-to.
Yeah, That's true. Now, when it comes to this project idea, do you find that your students that struggle more with writing, and do they are more willing to create and do things for writing that build into this project?
That's the great thing about today in today's time, is because like every kid is motivated by something else. They have their own cash, whatever cash that you can figure. You got to figure out your cash for your kids. Like what cash do they respond to? And so what, you know, video may be a platform, and creating stories with that is a platform that makes some kids shine. And you know, the kid that shines, that makes the best video, is the one that you least expected initially to make a video of like that. And then you hear their voice and it's so powerful. And you're like, oh my gosh, I had no clue. You are going to have an option to make videos from now on because of that. So, but you know, some kids like the We Will Write, like we talked in the other episode, one of my students in second grade was reluctant writer in third grade. But then when she, after experiencing We Will Write in third grade, she started writing and she wrote on college ruled paper in tiny print front and back and wouldn't stop. She kept going and going. It ignited this love of writing in her. So she went from a reluctant writer for a whole, entire second grade to putting out these amazing pages of writing, and whether it needed to be edited or anything, you can edit pages and pages of writing. So as you go through these different types of different ways to inspire your kids or spark your kids or bring joy to your kids to get them to do what you want. Because what do you want? You want the kids to write. Well, here's something that may get some kids to want to write. Here's something that might get something kids to write. So it's just figuring out where you're going to get the big bang for your buck.
Yeah, and figuring out that medium that you want them to use, whether it's WeVideo, whether it's Adobe Express, whether it's, I don't know, Canva, Google Slides, like you're just really trying to find something that hits all your learners in your classroom. And I think that's a big moment to be able to do that for any of them.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with choice. You know, video is just one of those tools that captures the attention better than text. You know, it's just, they get real excited about what they can do, because with WeVideo, it's a drag and drop program. It's like the entry point of video production, because you want music, you drag it down to the music line. Yeah. And then you want this picture to come first, you drag this picture first. You want a video to follow it, you drag a video to follow that. And if this is an asset that your district has rights to and that you purchased, the library that they have there is extensive with their resources. So plenty of videos and text mounts. You can do some for free, but it's pretty cool when you have an asset that you can use all the features for.
Yeah, that I agree with that. It's nice to be able to have those premium features where you're getting all the fireworks of a program to be able to use that with students.
Yeah, they go through all of that. They will end up having a better retention of that material anyway. So that's always a win for a teacher, and that's always something I'm striving for. How can I give these kids a project that will get that memory retention to be long-term?
Yeah, and I feel like as an adult, I'm the same way. The more I can actually complete the process, the more I'm comfortable with it, the more I understand it, and the more I'm willing to use it over and over. And then you find that process really impacts other things you do. And so now you're using all of it to help with all kinds of different ideas that you never even thought possible. And so I think students can be that same way. They can say, hey, I can create a video not just for writing, but I can create a video for my history class. I can create a video for my math class and to explain my thoughts, to explain what we're really showcasing. I think that's a big avenue to continue to dive down and, again, give those students choice for things. Now, listen, Michael, I know sometimes you create such good resources, and I know you've shared those with me, and I really appreciate that, and I've shared those with other people, but let's share your screen here and kind of walk us through something you've done with students in the classroom to make it more relatable. So if you're watching this, you'll be able to see it. So if you're listening on Apple, we're not on the video on Apple yet, but on Spotify, you can see those on YouTube. So let's see what you got for us, Michael.
And then we'll always put them in the show links, right? So
yes, always.
One of the best things that I was ever told about technology, I was sitting in a, you know, just at a school conference, you know, we were there and the speaker was out there and he was talking about cool stuff and everybody got out their notebook and their pen, they're writing down and he put something really cool on the screen and we're like writing it down. And he goes, yep, I can tell that y'all aren't like the young kids today. And I was like, what? Because the young kids today would have taken their phone out and took a picture of the screen. And that was like, oh my gosh, how brilliant is that? You know, that was like 15 years ago. So one of the things that he followed it up with that he said is like, you never have to be the expert in the technology you teach. You don't have to know anything more than what a good final project looks like. And I was like, you know, that's great because I can learn with the kids because the kids often know more than I do. So what I do often is like with book reviews, they could do a book review with WeVideo. So I have examples that I would show them of what a good book review would look like. And then we could discuss what that was and how they could do that. Another thing you can do is a book review with a twist. And with WeVideo, like we were talking about all the different assets, and it's not what he's saying that's important, but you could see he's talking about the Lightning Thief and he's actually gotten the artwork from the Lightning Thief. He's also generated artwork with generative AI from Adobe Express to incorporate into an upload to WeVideo for him to use as he's talking about this. So he makes it more engaging with his choices and how he can add that to his storytelling. So that's fantastic. And of course, you know, the kids watching that are going to remember it more or be excited. And this is an asset that you can send home to his family, his grandparents, and anywhere else. Plus, I can air it on the morning news. So I really enjoy it when kids have the voice and the opportunity to do that. And then, you know, just different content creation, like showing them what kids look like when they're creating content about what they're learning. You know, stop motion for kids, you know, how to make stop motion videos, and even podcasting. You know, with WeVideo, you could put up a static slide that has the name of the podcast on it and what they're talking about, episode number or whatever. And then they could just continue to talk while they're recording their voices. One of my favorite is this one. I actually met the person who shared this years ago, and I've been presenting and sharing this for years, but this is like a green screen project. And she has her kids like sitting in the actual diorama. They mean, you don't have to throw out the baby and the bathwater. You can keep the bathwater. Do those old projects that you're used to doing, like these dioramas that the kids really enjoy to make, and then take it and level it up by actually having the kids explain their learning by being inside of the diorama. So if you saw this as a kid, you would probably want to, oh my gosh, I want to do that. And then it wouldn't take much. You just stand up, you walk over here, sit down, and then we're going to place your video in that part of the screen. So this is just one of the fun projects that someone has created with WeVideo and the green screening. There's always the news reports. They've got great weather assets in there that you can put in to your WeVideos and when you're creating. So I kind of sneak peek into the next one.
I saw that. I saw my little logo there. Listen, and I think sometimes we're so like the normal, like your diorama, right? We do those, it's creative, but to level it up, to make it, it just makes it more fun for them where it's just not, here's my project. I set it on a table, but now we're going back through. Now they're working on the soft skills of communicating with their voice
and adding
that to their project.
Exactly. And when kids like doing something, you're not fighting them. You're not fighting them to get their work done. They want to do it. They're sitting on the edge of their chairs. You know, they're excited about participating. And that, and any teacher can tell you, if you got them on board, that it's a lot easier than fighting them to try to convince them to get this worksheet done.
Yeah. I love it. Those are awesome. I really, love that. Is there anything else you want to share for us before we start wrapping this little episode up?
I could go on for days, but I think this is a great highlight for video. And, you know, teachers, my tip is you don't have to know how to make the video because that's part of the process. It's them learning from each other on how to do different things. you know, like as a teacher, I would maybe Google something if I got stuck that they asked me a question I didn't know and nobody else knew. I may Google it and then I would come back with that information and help them. They could also learn how to, they were always teaching me things. That's the best part. And as they were learning, I was learning. And as they were showing me these things, I was learning how I could scaffold in the future my projects and getting the information that they needed to have for their projects completed before they just jumped in and did all the fun stuff first. Because, you know, kids naturally want to just jump in and do all the fun first.
Yeah, they don't want to listen to the directions. They're creating and they're just all being and all those things. And oh, and I remember her name. I was trying to think of this. Stevie Frank. I can remember going to TCA and listening to her about podcasting. And she was just like you. I'd maybe not be the best one to use. She was using Soundtrap and she was like, listen, I'm not the best at this program, but I would give it to my students and they would know more than I would know. And they would teach me things. And so again, we don't have to know all the things that are in the program and how to use them. Kids are going to find them. They're going to find unique ways to build on that. I think it's just sometimes we're afraid to do things because
we're the control master. We're the ones who are at the head of the ship and we're the captain and we're used to, you know, okay, here is how things are going to roll out. And so that was in part of my evolution, like I was talking about earlier, is like learning how to let go of the reins to let that creative process take place and understand that when I started, my creative process was going to take longer. That's why I like starting in the beginning of the year, because that's when we're reviewing and it's a little bit more downtime, you know, in the first half of the year. And then by the second half of the year, they were like cruising and I could give them choices to make a video or infographic or a slideshow and put it together in WeVideo and then have a showcase of everybody's work and then collect it maybe in Book Creator. So I'm just getting excited and coming up with all these.
I know it. I love it. I love it. But listen, as we get ready to roll on, because you know and I've told you this before. Sometimes it's just hard to stay on this shorter episodes. But we really want to make it impactful for teachers. I want to make this show impactful to where it's something they can listen to on their way to work and have that one idea, that one something that they can use tomorrow. So as we think about that one something, we've talked about lots of ideas, lots of things that teachers can pull. But what's one move, Michael, that you would recommend for a teacher that would actually change this for students with their learning and something they can do today or tomorrow?
I would think of, for me, it would be like a design challenge. Come up with a design challenge that you could give your students, something small and simple to get. And then most teachers have some kind of support. I mean, I'm an instructional technology person that's embedded in the building. So if they have the opportunity to work with another person, to have them come in and share maybe how they would tackle that project. But maybe a design challenge for the kids. It's fun. It's soft skills. They're going to be learning some of the things for the first time. Yeah. You know, the first time you do anything when you're an educator, a lot of times we give them some playtime. If we're going to put Play-Doh in front of the kid, we're not going to tell them what project they're going to do with it first. We're going to give them a minute or two to play with it to get that out of their system.
Yep.
So it's kind of like that. So start small, come up with a small project, see if there's somebody in the building who can support you in that project and help you get your feet wet. And then as you go through that process and you see those voices, that's the biggest aha teachers can have, is seeing those voices they hadn't seen before in a video realm and not expecting it. That's a jaw-dropping moment, even for me. And it happens every time. And I know it's going to happen. And I'm always excited to find out who's going to, you know, have my jaw drop.
I love it. Really finding a way for students to make something that's worthwhile for them and trying to find students that normally sit in the back of the room or they're sitting in the front and they're quiet, trying to find their voice, trying to find their creativity. I think those are huge. I think that's having, you know, that partnership where they're creating a design challenge. Just those are really great ways to really have an introduction into the video making for students. I think it's just incredible. And really is just one idea, something that definitely you can use tomorrow. So listen, Michael, for episode 84, I appreciate it. And I'm positive we're going to have you back on the show real soon. So I appreciate it. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.